Welcome to New World Notes, a series that explores the gap between the America we want and the America they're trying to make us settle for, and how we the people can reestablish our commonwealth and reclaim our democracy. Edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. This week, and for the next week or two, we'll be listening to selections from a really interesting documentary film, one that ties together the corporate-controlled mass media, falsification of both history and current events, misleading the public, and who else? George Orwell. The film, called Orwell Rolls in His Grave, was written and directed by Robert Kane Pappas and then adapted into a 90-minute story for radio by Lynn Gary, and then cut down to size by yours truly. The documentary includes many comments by a handful of great speakers who are real experts on the media. For me, the standouts here are Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Trouble and filmmaker Michael Moore, creator of Fahrenheit 9/11. His voice you'll recognize. As for Bernie Sanders, just listen for a very funny guy who sounds like he just stepped off the subway from Brooklyn. Like the Wizard of Oz on this show, I'm mostly behind the curtain and pulling the levers. Yep, there's a beer keg here behind the curtain. To complement the movie, we'll hear yet another interesting voice, that of Glenn Ford of Black Agenda Report, who shows a major newspaper's superb ability to not cover the news when the truth would work against the ruling elite's agenda. Plus a sprightly song or two. Not a bad way to spend a half hour, eh? You could do worse. You could listen to a speech by Sarah Palin on why daughter Bristol Palin's unwed teenage pregnancy only reinforces Sarah's commitment to abstinence-only sex education. How do you feel about Monica Lewinsky, Sarah? Oh, my. Well, if Bristol had acted more like Monica, maybe she wouldn't be pregnant out of wedlock. The worst that would happen is her dry cleaning bills would go up. And that was probably Bill's fault more than Monica's, according to the Star Report. I don't want to go into detail about Clinton's oddball preferences. All I'm saying is, if you're going to impeach that Southern stumblebum, I can think of several much greater high crimes and misdemeanors he committed than dallying with Monica. Dallying. Sounds a lot more lovely than the first six synonyms that pop into mind, eh? Dallying. No one uses that sweet term anymore. No, it's committing adultery, cheating on his wife, fornicating, sodomizing, dallying. Yes, it sounds like I'm ripping off George Carlin, one of our preeminent critics of how we use language. And George Orwell was another. So let us not dally further, but go on to Orwell Rolls in His Grave. Let me leave you with just one quote from Orwell's 1984, a quote that really seems central to the documentary. This is from memory, but I think I have it right. Here's one of the mottos of the ruling elite. Who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. Who does control our understanding of the present? The corporate-controlled big media? Who controls our understanding of the past? The corporate-controlled big media and the corporate-controlled history textbooks? Who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. Oh, brave new world!
In a media system based on profits from advertising revenue, the attention of the audience becomes the product sold to the advertiser. The ideal audience, therefore, is not only large, it is one not in the habit of thinking critically. Critical thinkers will maintain their habits of mind through the commercial breaks, and that's bad for business. Fomenting ignorance and passivity through the manipulation of language was one of the key themes of George Orwell's dystopian novel of a totalitarian society, 1984. Robert Kane Pappas' 2006 documentary Orwell Rolls in His Grave compares the manipulation of ideas by media in 21st century America to Orwell's fictional totalitarian state. I've adapted his documentary for radio for your listening pleasure this week as we administer an antidote to the propaganda flowing hot and heavy in this election season. Let's begin the program there with Orwell Rolls in His Grave, written and directed by Robert Kane Pappas. They could be made to accept the most flagrant violations of reality, and were not sufficiently interested in public events to notice what was happening. George Orwell, 1984.
We falsely think of our country as a democracy when it has evolved into a mediaocracy.
Danny Schechter, former CNN and ABC News producer.
Where a media that is supposed to check political abuse is part of the political abuse.
Mark Crispin Miller, professor of media studies, NYU.
These commercial entities now vie with the government for authority over our lives. They are not a healthy counterweight to government. They are as big as or bigger than government, and they work closely with government.
Charles Lewis, former 60 Minutes producer.
The most powerful special interest in Washington today is the media, because not only do they give money and lobby and do all the things that industries do in Washington and companies do, but they, of course, control whether or not a politician's mug gets on the tube. Now, that's power. That's the ultimate power in a political realm, is controlling perceptions.
War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
In George Orwell's novel, 1984, Winston Smith worked at the Ministry of Truth. But his job was not to ensure that truth was preserved. Quite the contrary. His job was to alter past news stories so that the version of the truth given by the ruling elite, the party, was never contradicted. If the party, which Orwell called Big Brother, lied to the people, a quick check of Winston's altered records, the only remaining records, would prove that the lie was true. Can lies become truth? Could a media system controlled by a few global corporations with the ability to overwhelm all competing voices be able to turn lies into truth? These corporations are not answerable to the people. Only the politicians can regulate them. Could corporations possibly buy politicians with campaign contributions? Contributions so large that the politicians would allow unregulated corporations to go about their business of eliminating less powerful voices until only one voice remained. One truth. I read about a man named Charles Lewis, an ex-60 Minutes producer who had created a unique nonpartisan news organization. The Center for Public Integrity broke the Clinton-Lincoln bedroom scandal. He had also done a report on George W. Bush's SEC violations for insider trading.
In the 60s, 3 in 4 Americans trusted their government. Today, it's 1 in 4. Americans trust the government. The level of secrecy and the amount of money in our process is greater than it's ever been. Archibald Cox, the Watergate prosecutor I interviewed for our book, The Buying of the Present 2000, said the level of trust in this country is worse than he's ever seen it, including during Watergate. People sense, I think, that the financial elites and the political elites have become one and the same, and that the people themselves have no voice in Washington or in their state capitals, that they are somehow being left behind.
You can't have 280 million people and say that two political parties represent the thinking of 280 million people. That's just think about that. If you want to, just step back and look at that.
Michael Moore, documentary filmmaker.
And you know, the thing is that anthropologists, they're going to dig us up hundreds of years from now, and they are not going to understand us. No, seriously, and we've made a huge mistake inventing film and videotape because we're leaving behind a record of ourselves.
We have a situation in which a significant percentage of the population doesn't vote, doesn't care about the issues, is tuned out entirely, is what we call depoliticized. In fact, we have a rate of depoliticization in the United States that must make a tyrant like in, you know, Indonesia envious. They say, how can I get one of these vegged out populations?
The top 1% that controlled 90% of the wealth had two major political parties doing their bidding for them. And the other 99% had no political party on the ballot representing them. And no representation in Congress representing them. And yet that 99% ran around waving little flags going, we're free! We're free! We live in democracy! Woohoo! Oh, we're going to look like fools. No, seriously, folks! We got to leave a note behind and explain our actions.
We have more instant access to information as consumers and as citizens than we've ever had in the history of the country.
Mark Crispin Miller.
That does not necessarily mean we're better informed. And that's a fascinating irony by itself.
There's an apposite quote from Dr. Goebbels. That's a kind of an explosive, you know, thing to invoke here. But he said once, and this is an example of how sly he was, that what you want in a media system, and he meant the Nazi media system, is ostensible diversity that conceals an actual uniformity.
The truth of the matter is that increasingly what we see, what we hear, and what we read is being controlled by fewer and fewer large multinational corporations.
Bernie Sanders, U.S. Senator, Vermont.
People don't appreciate this. You know, in the last days of the Soviet Union, you had dozens of newspapers, dozens of magazines, all kinds of radio and television stations. The only problem is that all of that media was controlled by the Communist Party of the Soviet Union or the government of the Soviet Union. We are moving in that direction.
There is an illusion of choice that's maintained when you can have 100 channels on your cable system.
Aurora Wallace, professor of communications, NYU.
You know, how many movies did the studios release a year now? All these different studios and the music industry with so many labels and magazine stands that go on and on and on forever. Well, the owners are, you know, a handful, five, six different companies.
And that is a very dangerous development for those of us who believe in a vibrant American democracy.
Fewer and fewer people vote. When polls tell us that fewer and fewer people understand the political process, what the media does is trivialize what goes on, sensationalizes it, makes it entertainment, rather than saying, look, the function of the media is to educate you to live in a democracy, which is pretty serious stuff.
You got a media system that's basically a subsidiary of corporate America. That's all it is. You're going to have a media system that will not cover stories of tremendous public moment, while it will over-focus on trivial stories that don't have any resonance at all.
In terms of the political process, you ask yourselves, what are the most important issues facing our country? Why is it? Simple question. With all of the growth in technology, with all of the wonderful globalization and free trade, all of that stuff, all of the increases in education. Why does the average American today work longer hours for low wages than was the case 25 years ago? Simple question. Do you think it's seen on television very often? What about the morality of 1% of the population owning more wealth than the bottom 95%? Seen that?
In a New York Times editorial, Princeton economist Paul Krugman addressed one of these little mentioned issues. According to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, between 1979 and 1997, income for families in the middle rose 9%. Income for families in the top 1% rose 140%. Krugman noted, quote, "I know from experience that even mentioning income distribution leads to angry accusations of class warfare." He then asks, "Why has the response to rising inequality been a drive to reduce taxes on the rich?" Good question. According to Joan Didion, news is no longer just reported but managed in a way that sets its terms and shapes its overall content. Has the mainstream media become an anti-democratic force in the United States.
What you want to say is, if you have a self-governing society, a democratic society, what does that society need from its journalism? I mean, what are the attributes you need to have from your journalism, from your media system to produce, so that people can govern their own lives effectively? And I think there are, you know, two or three things that jump out at you if you study the matter at all. And they're really not debated. One, you need a really hard watchdog. You need a journalism that keeps track of people in power and people who want to be in power.
Hitler says in Mein Kampf that the people's power of forgetting is enormous. This is the case with mass society, right? You have to have a healthy media system in order to counteract that natural tendency. You've got to have that, because then people will be sufficiently roused by the notion of having to protect their interests to pay attention. Otherwise, if it's just a spectacle, you know, if it's just a bunch of razzle-dazzle and bullshit, people will naturally, you know, forget about it in a couple of days. And that's the pickle that Americans tend to be in.
A CNN Gallup poll conducted in March 2003 found that 51% of the American people thought Saddam Hussein was personally responsible for the September 11th attack. Why did they think that?
Forget about forgetting. They don't know. They don't know. I picked up my local paper today. Yesterday there was a vote in the House of Representatives which would, if it carries into law, provide hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to a handful of families in this country. It wasn't mentioned in the newspaper. The repeal of the estate tax. Half of the benefits of that repeal will go to the richest 0.1% of the population. All of the benefits will go to the wealthiest 2% of the families in America. You got that? 98% of the families do not pay one nickel in estate tax. I walked down the street a couple of months ago. Guy goes up and he says, "Bernie, I'm really angry at you." "Yeah, why are you angry?" "I've got $20,000 in the bank and I want to leave my money to my kids, and why are you stopping me from doing that?" $20,000. This guy's not going to pay one penny in estate tax. People don't know that. So what they do is they poll. They got very good pollsters, and you play off the general ignorance of the population. People don't know much. Death tax sounds pretty good. Everybody who dies, you got to pay a huge tax to the federal government. Not true.
We put the death tax on the road to extinction. The death tax is a bad tax.
And yet that 99% ran around waving little flags going, "We're free! We're free! We live in democracy! Woo-hoo!"
Charles Lewis.
Your job is, if you're at the network, to cover the basics. The basics mean that government, the entire federal government with millions of employees, is boiled down to the White House and the Capitol. You have a reporter at each place, and they're on every night. And that's the extent of your federal government news coverage. It's idiocy.
Shocking.
It's shocking, and it's pathetic. And so you can have an SNL scandal that goes on for years, and no one notices it because that's an obscure, now defunct agency called the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. Well, how many reporters do you think are down there covering that? Hardly any.
If a member of Congress gets an appropriation for $58,000 in order to put some funding into a house or something, or into something in his community, it's liable to make the front pages. Congressman Jones gets pork, $58,000 for this stupid project. Headlines. But when you spend hundreds of billions of dollars, it is more likely that the hundreds of billions will not be covered than the $58,000.
How did journalism get this way?
Earth was dying. If they said this on the news, if they would clarify the picture instead of seeking to confuse. If you could see the ice caps melting, if you could watch the oceans rise, if you could see the consequences right before your eyes. If you knew the kids were dying, if you could look inside the river where their food comes from, filled with cyanide. If you could hear the parents pleading, if they were looking right at you, if you could see the anguish in their hearts. What if you knew? The bombs are falling, if they showed them hit the ground, if you could see the bodies flying, if you could hear the sound, if you could see the rubble where the hospital once stood, if you saw the child's lifeless limbs, would you hold them if you could, if you knew that they were lying, every time they spoke, for every laser-guided pinprick, there were lives lost in the smoke, if instead of just the generals, they had doctors too to describe the carnage of the cluster bombs, what if you knew? They were saying when they think you cannot hear, if you understood what they do, if for you it was so clear, if you knew they shut down the factory in an economic ruse, if you could kiss the cheek of the child in the sweatshop that made your shoes, every time we went to war to fight our evil foes, they told you we were really fighting for the good of CEOs, if you could feel the hunger of the many, see the riches of the few, if they told it like it is, what if you knew? Living in a huge conspiracy, would you leave your suburbs, get out of your SUV, would you hit the streets and fight for all our lives, would you hold your ground when the stormtroopers arrive, if you knew that the whole planet depended on what you do now, would you take a man with the speed our times allow, if the pundits told the truth for just a week or two and real life was shown on TV, what if you knew?
Who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. Here's a story about control. Imagine a city that had three significant political parties and one significant newspaper. Suppose that paper covered the city's most popular political party and the city's third most popular political party and never wrote a word about the second. Sound indefensible? Undemocratic? What city could this be? Mexico City? Jakarta? Tehran? No, the city is closer than that, and you've heard of the newspaper. Here's Glenn Ford of Black Agenda Report, Black Agenda Radio, proving that Orwell might as well roll in his grave, because he sure as heck isn't dead. And 2008 is a lot closer to 1984 than some imagine.
We need to stop using the word democracy to describe the every 2 or 4 year exercise to fill electoral offices in the United States. The ritual is in fact a commercial enterprise, utterly dominated by corporations that control not only which individuals are nominated by the two big business parties, but what ideas and political programs are made visible to the public. Citizens cannot possibly make free and informed choices when the only views to which they have access are those fed to them by the giant communications corporations that monopolize the American political conversation. When money and the rich man's media are the supreme arbiters of which ideas, parties, and candidates are permitted to effectively compete in the public arena, then democracy does not exist. In Washington, D.C., the statehood Green Party, through labor-intensive, grassroots work, has managed to garner more votes in the last several elections than the local Republican Party. That's an amazing accomplishment, given that the statehood Greens get virtually no coverage from the Washington Post newspaper, which means little or no exposure in the corporate television media either, since all the stations follow the Post's lead. Let's go over the facts again. The statehood Greens are the number 2 party in Washington, D.C., yet the Washington Post refuses to cover them. The paper's congressional reporter, Paul Kane, recently slipped up and told the brutally honest truth about the Post's methodical manipulation of the news. Kane claimed the Greens and Ralph Nader got plenty of coverage in the 2000 election when, in his words, Nader had a chance to play a decisive role in some states. According to Kane, there is little indication that the Greens will have any major impact on the 2008 election. Then, Kane declared, and I quote him, "Until you, Greens, demonstrate that there is some level of support for your party, our paper isn't going to spend precious resources reporting on whatever it is you're doing." Cain is a corporate hack who arrogantly refuses to be bothered finding out just what precisely the Greens are doing, nationally or locally. It appears that's not part of his job description as a major media journalist. The Washington Post won't even cover the Greens in D.C., where they are second to the Democrats in voter appeal. And this year, there are at least as many swing states where the Greens and Ralph Nader's independent operation can play as decisive a role as in the 2000 election, if that is really the criteria for coverage. In reality, the Washington Post and the rest of the corporate media cabal withhold coverage from the non-big business parties in order to starve the public of alternative choices and ideas. They are censors who, as Green Party national standard bearers Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente have said, are attempting to white out a political party that just nominated two women of color for president and vice president. Giant corporations control the political menu in the United States. The public is given little choice but to consume whatever the moneyed classes put on their plates. As McKinney and Clemente point out, it is the equivalent of rigging an election. And we will add, it bears no relationship to democracy. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford.
Thanks for listening. New World Notes is produced in the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of the University of Hartford. For the Orwell radio play, our thanks to the Unwelcome Guests Collective. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the presenter, the station management, staff, or the licensee, and their expression is protected by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. New World Notes can be heard by radio, by digital stream, podcast, or free MP3 download at any time. For podcast or download, just go to www.radioforall.net and do a search on New World Notes. That's www.radio4all.net. Even easier, just go to wwuh.org and find its description of this program. Then just click on the convenient link you'll find there, and you're ready to listen, download any show, or subscribe to a podcast. That's wwuh.org. I appreciate your comments and suggestions. Email kdowst, that's kdowst, at hotmail.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly email announcements about the next show, drop me a line. Again, that's kdowst, K-D-O-W-S-T, at hotmail.com. Until next time, here's wishing you a good week. Illegit my non carborundum. Try to speak the truth and keep the faith.